Welcome to Lifestyle Solopreneur, the community for entrepreneurs who put lifestyle first. Join your host, Flavia Barris, as she interviews successful lifestyle solopreneurs and shares ideas to help you find the perfect balance between lifestyle, business, and self. Flavia is an attorney, marketing expert, and founder of several online academies. She's been featured in major media, including BBC World News, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, ESPN Television, and more. Join us for this episode of Lifestyle Solopreneur.
Hey, Lifestyle Solopreneurs. Today we get to speak with Chris Volk. He is a rare three-peat New York Stock Exchange IPO leader, that's three times, founding two of the companies he has taken public. His successful companies have attracted an impressive investor list, with Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway becoming the largest single investor of the last company that he took public. Since stepping away from the CEO role in 2021, Chris has authored a book on business wealth creation, has taught, has guest lectured, and he's written articles on a wide range of business and career topics. He has also appeared on a number of podcasts as a guest, and we are happy to have him here today. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Flavia, I'm just delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love having you here because I think there's a mystique about stocks and the stock exchange and who are all these people that you see on the news and waving hands in the air when the stock exchange opens. So I love to have people come on the show where we can meet you and talk to someone like a real person who's behind all of that, who demystifies some of it for us. How did you get to where you are now? What's your journey from, I'm sure at some point in your life, you were not involved in what you do now, and then you've gotten here. How did that happen?
I started my career in finance, and I was working for a bank in Georgia. And when you're working for banks, and if you're going through bank training and whatnot, you spend a lot of time lending money to companies and reading financial statements and becoming an analyst. So I became a credit geek, where I was studying a lot of financial statements, and I'm still a credit geek at heart. And in doing this, I learned that there were just some companies that were better than other companies. And when you see a lot of businesses, I would see thousands of businesses, and I started to really understand why some companies were just better than others. And some years into banking, about 6 years into banking, I decided I didn't want to stay in banking. So I made a career move, and I moved out here to Arizona to work with a gentleman who was a customer of mine. And he had a company who had a business that I really liked. And so I came out here to work with him. And years later, I would help him take that company public. And the reason, of course, you take companies public is, the best reason to take companies public is because you just need the money. There's no way for you to raise that kind of money just privately. It becomes very difficult, and it's easier to do it. And you think you can raise money at better prices than you can in private markets. So it was those two things that caused us to want to take our company at the time public, which we did.
Wow. And so tell me a little bit about, in your mind, what would the difference be between wealth creation? Because I know that you've got a book and it focuses on wealth creation for entrepreneurs versus just making money. What's the difference between making some cash versus creating wealth?
Yes, making money is where you're working for a company and you're drawing a paycheck and it's making money. And by the way, if you have your own company, you should pay yourself a salary. That's part of what a company should do is to pay you some money. So some of the money you're pulling out of it is money that you would otherwise be making if you weren't working for yourself. But wealth creation is a little bit different. Wealth creation is creating a company that's worth more than what it costs to make. So if you have a company that's worth, it costs you $1 million to put together or $500,000 to put together, if you can sell it for more than $500,000 or $1 million, and you could, whatever you sell for more than that, you created that wealth. And in a way, you've created it out of thin air because you started off with a $500,000 or $1 million. You created that business and ultimately you found somebody who's willing to pay you a multiple of that oftentimes. And that's, in short, how the richest people in America and, in fact, the world got there. If you look at the Forbes 400 list of richest people, every single one of them, without exception, made their money in business. And the great news for your audience and the great news for me is you don't have to be half that good. You don't have to be like a tenth of that good. You can have a business that's a modest business by comparison and still create wealth. And so it can have a business model that's not the perfect business model, a market that's not as big as some of the markets that people that are in the Forbes 400 have. And yet you can still find yourself to be in the upper 1% of Americans by creating a company that could be worth more than what it costs to create. And what I wanted to do in writing this book was to explain financially how this happens, because ultimately the best companies translate the goods and products they sell their customers into a really good business model. And that leap there from just offering a good product to creating a business model where you can ultimately sell that company for more than it costs to create, that's where wealth can get created from thin air.
I like that concept of actually creating the company versus, because a lot of people are focused on creating the widget, the thing that they're selling. I don't know, starting an Etsy store and then just focusing on making something like holiday sweaters for dogs. And that's your thing that you're making without really taking a step back and thinking to yourself, no, I'm creating a company that produces holiday sweaters for dogs as kind of like the bigger picture. But a lot of people are worried about starting businesses and companies because you hear all the statistics that small businesses tend, statistically speaking, to fail, or that a large number of them just don't make it beyond a certain number of years. What do you do to address those fears when people say to you, look, I'd love to start some big venture in a company and go public one day or sell it or do all these things? These are great aspirations, great dreams, but I'm just too risk averse, or I'm just too scared, right? I fear that it won't happen for me.
Yeah. So I'll just give you my own story. And I think that it's something that's relatable to your audience, hopefully. I'd been working for a number of years, and I ended up working for someone and had a good job. And ultimately, I helped him take that company public and ended up being president of that business. And at one point, we sell the company, and I'm out of a job. Or I'm between jobs effectively. And I had job offers from other people at the time. But I had put myself in a spot where I'd paid down my debts. I didn't have a huge monthly nut that I had to pay down. My monthly expenses were pretty low at the time. I had some savings so I could not work for a little bit and not draw a paycheck, and it was going to be okay. And I knew that I had enough knowledge and skills and a good Rolodex of contacts where I thought I could start a business. And I was 47 years old, and I was looking back at my life and taking stock of it. And I thought, when I'm 70 or 80, I just don't want to look back at my life and say, I could have done this. I could have started a company. I had that shot, but I didn't take it. And so I did that. And I decided I would rather make less money working for myself than more money working for someone else. And if I didn't make as much money, I was okay with that. And of course, the carrot is that when you're starting your own company, you do want to make more money than you would be if working for someone else. And you do want to have the chance of making financial success. And you do want to be going for kind of the brass ring. You want to go for something that's better than what you've had. But if it didn't all work out quite that way, I would have been okay with it. And so that's what I did. And my plan B, of course, was that if my business had failed or if I couldn't do what I wanted to do, I was going to have to go back and get another job. So in terms of risk, I was going to risk some money and some time, and I was going to risk not drawing a paycheck. But I felt like I had a plan B I could fall back on to try to minimize my risk. And as it turned out, I ended up making more money than I would have made for somebody else. And I did that company and took it public. And then later on, I did it a third time. And the third company was even more successful. And so it was really gratifying to be able to do that. And part of starting a business that's so great is that you're able to make a difference for so many other people. So it's not just like having a job and running a department or something like that. It is creating jobs from scratch for people and creating career paths for people and helping customers out. And I think that all of us deep down also want to make a difference for others the best we can. And I found that I was able to do more of that by being an entrepreneur.
A lot of us listeners here on the show are either authors or maybe future authors, aspiring authors. You've written at least one book that I know of. Tell us a little bit about the motivation behind the book and what the book's about.
The motivation behind the book is to give back and to help other people. So the book is about, I'll give you the title for the book. It's The Value Equation. So you can look it up on Amazon. And of course, I have a website called www.thevalueofbump. And you can look me up if any of your readers and listeners want to look me up. You can look me up on LinkedIn too and reach out to me that way. But it's The Value Equation. It's a business guide to wealth creation for entrepreneurs, leaders, and investors. And it is a book that goes through what it takes for a company to financially succeed and to create value beyond what it costs to build. And so for entrepreneurs, as you're conceiving a business, you start off with a good or a product. The customer is always number one. So you're thinking about a product, a service for the customer that they're going to be willing to pay for. But right behind the customer is the shareholder. And the shareholder could be you. It could be your money. You own the whole business. Or you could be raising money from other people as well. And so you're looking to deliver value for them and create return for those people. And so as you're bridging the two things, what you're trying to do is take that product or service for a customer. And then around that product or service, you're trying to create a business model. And what I did over the years was I reduced company models down to 6 universal variables. There are numerical type variables. So for your listeners thinking that they're scared of numbers, I would say to you, no business people are really scared of numbers. You've got accounting, you've got detail that you got to worry on. So these are just numbers like that, except that they're financial relationships. And they're important for any business leader to really know and to get under, because they define how operationally efficient your business is, which is basically sales and profits. They define how asset efficient your business is. And basically, when you're creating a company, any of your listeners know, you're creating a company, you don't want to spend the moon on your business. You want to keep your assets as lean as possible. And then finally, it's the capital efficiency, where you're trying to figure out how much money do I have to put in, or do my shareholders have to put in, and how much can I borrow from other people, or maybe lease from other people, where I can get their money to help me in my business. And so if you string those 3 efficiencies, the operating, asset, capital efficiency together, those embody the 6 variables, and that creates equity returns. And that's where wealth is created from.
That's amazing. What are some of your stories? Because I know working in what you do, you must have some just great stories of clients and people that have read your book and then gone on to do great things, gotten back in touch with you. Tell us a little bit about some of your favorite sort of case studies, because I know for me, I love hearing about other people's success. I know it's funny. There's some people that hear someone else's success and the feeling is maybe like despair. Oh, I'll never reach that, or jealousy, or something that's like not a positive feeling. For me, when I see people like winning, I get so excited. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. And I want to do that exact thing. And that inspires me and motivates me. So I love hearing the good stories. What are some of your favorites?
Yeah. So I would say that start with what our companies did. So our companies, all 3 of the companies that I led were engaged in owning real estate that was rented to other people that they used in their business. So we started off with chain restaurants early on. And then over time, we got into automotive parts and service stores. We got into convenience stores. We ended up owning veterinary clinics and early childhood education and fitness clubs and manufacturing. And later on, we even owned ski hills. But we had thousands upon thousands of properties that we would own. And we would rent to businesses, and that our tenants were our customers, and they would use those properties to run their business. So they could have been fast food operators or early childhood education operators. And we convinced them that they were better off not owning their real estate, that they were better off having a landlord as opposed to a banker. And I did this, I and our leadership team did this successfully. So we, at the end of the day, did about $20 billion worth of investments for people across 3 different companies where we owned their real estate and provided them with that capital. And we worked with thousands of middle market companies, and some of them were startup companies, but most of them had a location or two before they came to us. And in the course of helping these companies grow, we created lots of millionaires, just tons of them, because we helped them grow. We were an engine for their growth. And in the meantime, I did this three times. So I had the ability to start three different companies. And the fun thing about doing the same thing three times is you just get better at it. And I started to figure out how to run the companies much more effectively and efficiently. And so by the time I left the third company, we had something like 115 employees running $10 billion in assets. And with the first company, we had $6 billion in employees and 250 people running it. So I'd taken our staffing needs and lowered them. I'd outsourced a lot of staffing, not just overseas, but to around the country to get things done more efficiently, and was able to create a business model that was so effective that I was able to attract guys like Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett to buy our stock. And I think that's the fun of it. You're being creative. And business is ultimately a creative pursuit. And we helped our customers be creative, and we helped, and we were very creative ourselves in terms of designing our companies, like sitting on at a drawing board at a blank piece of paper and starting a company from scratch with no boundaries and saying, if we could do it this way, wouldn't it be better? And to do that requires a lot of self-awareness, where you're saying, you're willing to be very self-analytical and say, if we could just do it this way, we would be better, and our investors would be better, and our customers would be better, and we'd be more competitive. And we were able to do it this three times. And being able to get the business models better and better and better was certainly an influence for me to help write the book to explain how this happens.
And it's great that you were able to lean down the staff, right? So that you're just efficient. It sounds like you made the companies over time, every time you did this, more and more efficient. For someone that's listening who has not billions under management, not they don't have 250 staff, they have a team of three, four, or five people, but they're looking to also have that team leverage more, be more efficient. What are some things that you can take from like the big type industry that you are in and apply it to like the solopreneur journey?
Yeah, I think that the first thing that business people have to focus on is to really understand what they're good at and what their core competencies are as a business. And core competencies are those things that when you are selling your product or service to a customer, they're the things that attract that customer to you, things that you might do better than someone else that would allow that customer to do business with you and pay for it, the value that you're creating. And so in the case of our last company, I basically took our core competencies and I whittled them down to about five things. And then if we weren't doing those five things, we were distracting ourselves to focus on other stuff. And the thing about being an entrepreneur is entrepreneurs are almost universally creative. They're almost universally optimistic. And they're almost universally easily distracted because they like the latest and greatest idea. They want to be drawn to other things. But what you learn in starting a business is that the most valuable resource you have is time. And when you're starting a company and you're no longer working for some other big company and you don't have anybody helping you out and there are just four or five or six of you, you have to limit how much time you spend on anything else except for the things that you really want to be really good at. And then you have to shut everything else out or outsource anything else that you're not really good at. And that's what we tried to do, was to outsource stuff that we didn't want to focus on and then focus on the things hands-on that we wanted to be really good at.
That advice and that information is very useful. I think it's something we all need to keep in mind all the time and just keep optimizing for that. You do have other tools. I know we ask guests, this is something we started just this year, to provide something of value that anyone listening can just put in action, can go and take as a resource. We post all of them in our, I call it the freebie vault or the treasury or whatever you want to call it. It's our repository for all of this great, useful tools, information, knowledge from all of our great guests. Because we have great guests like you that come on regularly and from all kinds of different industries, all kinds of different careers. And I know that there's some posters for a business model and the math behind it. So tell us a little bit about that we're going to post in our vault. The vault's available at podcastguestgift.com. That's podcastguestgift.com. And Chris, I know you have a direct link as well that you can share. So tell us about it.
Yeah. So if you are on the website, one of the things I wanted to do was to take something that was really complicated, like a business model, and reduce it to as few things as you could. So there are a couple of posters on the website that are not available in the book, but you can download them, and they will guide you through the steps to creating business wealth. They'll show you exactly how it's done, and they'll do it step by step for you. And so that you can think about this. I think that when there was a business consultant named Peter Drucker, who was pretty well known and very well known. And Peter created this thing called Management by Objectives, which is still valuable to this day and requires business people to create objectives and then guide them and measure them. And one of the key objectives for me in running a public company and running and starting any company was trying to focus on the business model and how you're creating wealth. And you've got those six variables, and it is a very essential objective. And when you're either starting a company or re-engineering a company, any of that stuff, it becomes really important to understand what your levers are. You're a business leader, so what can I pull on? And so there are these six things you can pull on. And so you focus on those. And so the posters will get you understanding that and hopefully running your business better.
Amazing. I'm very visual, and I love having things not just in my head or electronically. I like a wall calendar. Some people don't have a wall calendar anymore. And I certainly keep one at the computer and in the cloud and all that because it's necessary. But I also like to have things on the wall, things on a bulletin board, on a whiteboard. So for me personally, I'm definitely going to check these posters out. Again, they're available either directly on Chris's website at thevalueequation.com, specifically with a / the-value-equation-tools. And then you can also, as a shortcut, go to our guest freebie repository at podcastguestgift.com, where we keep all of the freebies that all of our guests offer to us, the listeners. So Chris, it's been amazing talking to you. Thank you so much. I know that a lot of folks are going to go and actually check out your book as well. And I believe that's available through your website. And any last parting words to aspiring and current entrepreneurs who want to scale and grow and just accomplish all of their business goals?
One of my favorite personal sayings is that you either make things happen or you're allowing things to happen to you. May those people who are listening to this go out and make things happen. And that's what creating a business is all about. And I hope that the material that I can offer you will be some help.
Here's to making things happen. Thanks again for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and if you leave a review on iTunes, I promise I will read every single review. If you know someone who makes a full-time living from part-time work, and maybe this is you, please visit lifestylesolopreneur.com to nominate a guest or to nominate yourself. Because remember this, money doesn't buy happiness. But money in the hands of a happy person, there is no greater tool.
Today's episode was brought to you by the Get Shift Done program. It's a lifestyle-changing online class to help you define your business and lifestyle ambitions and to set goals in a way you've never experienced before. This class will 10x your daily productivity with methods that will blow your mind. And if you use the coupon code PODCAST, the class tuition is 99% off. Visit getshiftdone.com to enroll today.